think all of us all agree that when we sing that song, Holy is the Lord, there's just something in our spirits that just resonates with what Isaiah said when he said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And then he just said, Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. And I think it just resonates with us when we realize that we're standing in the presence of a holy God, an awesome God. And we just see ourselves as so in need of him and so humbled before him. So if you can identify with that, then just respond. Just in whichever way the Lord leads you now, just to worship him, to give him all, to repent if you need to repent, to give him your life again, because he's an awesome God. I just love the fact that when we sing that our voices are just lifted because we realize this is who he is. He's holy, he's perfect, he's amazing, he's so far beyond anything that we in our lives even can conceive. He's just so much greater. And yet our spirits are longing for that holiness, that perfection. So just respond to him right now. Just sense he's here in just such an amazing, gentle way to touch us, but to also purify us. And let's not let the moment go by. Let's just respond in our hearts. If you don't want to say anything, don't say anything, but just thank him for his perfection and his holiness and his greatness. Lord, we just thank you right now. We just worship you, Lord. You are glorious. You are beautiful, Lord. There is none that compares, Lord. Nothing comes close to you, Lord. Thank you that we are the redeemed, Lord. We are the ones who can cry this chorus with the angels, Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Thank you that you've redeemed us, Lord. You've saved us and you're busy saving us, Lord. While we remain in this attitude of worship, let's just contemplate this year that lies ahead of us, just particularly in the area of our finances. For some of us, payday is happening tomorrow, or maybe it happened on Friday. It's the last weekend of January. And what's amazing is January isn't finished yet. So we can consecrate our first fruits to the Lord. The Bible says that God wants our first fruits. He wants our best. And it's so great to give at the beginning. It's so great to give of the first part of our income. And so I want us to this evening contemplate as the ushers prepare to pass around the offering bags, but I want you to not only think of what you're giving now, but think of the salary that's coming in, or the allowance that you're getting from your parents, whatever increase is coming in your life. I want you to realize that that is from God. And I want you to consecrate your giving tonight as the offering bags come by. Just give, but decide this year that you're going to give your first fruits to God. Amen. The best of every month, but let's give the best for this year. Now in the first month of this year, let's give the best. Let's give to God and let's consecrate our finances to the Lord. Because God, I said it this morning, God wants our hearts, but he knows that there's something that can take a hold of our hearts, and that's mammon. He says that we cannot serve two masters. That's the only time he says there's a bit of competition with himself, and that's with finances, with money. And so, let's just watch our hearts this year. Let's just watch that mammon, the love of money, doesn't take over this year. But let's do it by saying, God, everything belongs to you. Every single thing that I have belongs to you. And you bless me with it. I don't have to give it to you. God doesn't, if we don't give it, he's not going to bless us less. I really don't believe we must give to God to be blessed more. But I believe it is blessed to give. Amen. So don't feel under obligation to give, but give out of a joyful heart. Give because you're giving the first fruits of your increase to a mighty and an awesome and a holy God. So Lord, we consecrate these finances to you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that this is worship, Lord. Worship isn't just singing nice songs. Worship isn't when we only give you our hearts and our minds. But worship, Lord, is when we give you what already belongs to you, Father. But we know that only you can stir in us a heart to give, Lord. We are so selfish by human nature, Lord. By born of this world, we are sinful, Lord. We are hoarders. We are selfish. We want everything, Lord. But thank you tonight that you deliver us, Lord. And you want us to become givers, Lord. So thank you tonight that we can just practice, Lord. And that every Sunday we're practicing giving into your house, Lord. Giving to you, Lord, for the extension of your kingdom. And we pray tonight that you would bless every cent that's given tonight, Lord. You bless hearts, Lord. And you multiply hearts. And you give us the ability to create wealth, Lord. I thank you for students here. I thank you for working people. I thank you for the ability from your hand to create wealth, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that before we even create wealth, we want to say, Lord, everything belongs to you. All of who we are and all of what we have belongs to you, Jesus. And we give it to you freely tonight. We give you 2017. We give you the finances of our whole year. We say, Lord, multiply it in our lives. Do with it what you want, that you can be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, just turn to someone next to you and say, it's so good to have you in the Lord's presence this evening. So maybe you don't know the person next to you, just greet them again, give them a nice smile, say, welcome to Shofar Christian Church. For those of you visiting us for the first time, you are so welcome this evening. Can I just see who's visiting us for the first time? If you can just raise your hands again. Let's give them a hand. A couple of people. Well, it's good to see the familiar faces. It's good to see the new faces. Welcome back to all the students that are busy coming back. We are so excited for 2017. I trust you are too. Before I get into my sermon, I just want to take your attention to one announcement which I really need to make this evening, and that's that we are inviting all of you guys to consider and to pray over whether you want to host a Connect group, okay? So if you can just put up that slide, Richard. It's all about, we feel like our small groups, we just want to make it a little bit of a change. So for those of you who are new, haven't heard this yet, listen carefully. So what we're inviting you to do is just to, you don't have to become a leader. You don't have to say you're now a leader or you now whatever. All we want to do is to invite you. If you have a heart for people, if you can open your home or your flat or your townhouse or your res room, that's fine. If you can serve coffee or some kind of a snack and you can tell a friend, then you can be a host. Okay, that's what the host stands for. So what we're inviting you to do is just to join us for 6 weeks or to commit to 6 weeks where you're going to, if you and a friend or three friends want to go and find some other people and bring them into the host group or the connect group, then you just host it. You put in a DVD. We're going to make a DVD series of just a few minutes and then you can discuss topics. We're going to give you all the information. You don't have to prepare much. Just have a heart for people. Create the space. And we're going to do training for this in the next few weeks. So we're going to tell you exactly when we're going to do training for everyone. We want everyone to be trained. And then we're going to start after the fast, the week after the prayer and fast. 22nd of February is a Wednesday. We're going to start that evening. And then it ends in the end of March. And so just for 6 weeks, we're asking you to just put your faith out with us for this thing. So if you've got faith just to reach a couple of people or you want to get people in the church together in a connect group, then we'd love to invite you to sign up for it at the info table. Anyone is welcome. You can be visiting here tonight. You can do this. We want to say there's no high expectation. You don't have to be a member. We're just giving you the opportunity to facilitate people into God's kingdom. Okay? That's all it is. And so if you want to do that, then join us. tell us about it. If you just want to be part of a group, then be part of a group. There's no pressure to be a host. But we're going to challenge your faith a little bit on this, because we know some people bring people to church, but then the people don't get discipled. You know, people just sort of get lost along the way. So we want people to be discipled in these 6 weeks, and we're going to do very light topics, nothing deep. Light topics like, what is the difference between knowing God and knowing about God? Just things like that. You know, who is the Holy Spirit and how does He empower us operating in the gifts, and just how to connect with other people, practical life skills, things like that. Just to discuss around these topics that we can get excited about following Jesus. Amen. Doesn't that sound exciting for you guys? So for the students, please sign up at the info table, speak to myself or to Yaku or to Annika or any of the leaders and say, you're willing to put your faith out for this? Are we willing to do it? Pray for us, send us, lay hands on us. And then if you don't invite anyone, if no one comes, that's also fine. The failure isn't that no one comes. The failure is, I believe, if we don't step out, okay? There's no failure in this, okay? So don't think like if you step out and nothing happens, you're a failure. In fact, you've put out your faith and God will bless you. And I believe all of us know some people that might never come to church. So the idea is to connect with people who might never come to our church. We just want to make them hungry and thirsty for Jesus, because I believe there is a hunger and a thirst for Jesus out there. Amen? But sometimes people hear church and then they like don't want to go to church. But if they realize there's realness, we're sharing our lives, we're vulnerable, we're also in the process of salvation, people will want to walk this walk with us. So we want to invite you to do that. But tell us beforehand, and we're going to tell you when the training is. If you don't put your name down, still come to the training, see what it's like, pray about it. But let's trust the Lord that in this first term, we're going to reach the people that God wants us to reach as a church. Amen. Does that sound cool to you? If you need any more information, please contact me or the office and we'll give you information. And then just the other thing on what Benny said about the school of worship, guys, it's not for people who are in the band only. If you've got a heart for worship, you want to grow in your knowledge of God and how to worship God, just come to Potch. You don't have to do the 8-week course either. It's not. We'd love you to come to Potch for that weekend. It's going to be a powerful time in God's presence. The bus is going to be going. We can organize transport, but let's put that weekend out to just get into the presence of God. It's an awesome event, so please. We don't have anything else happening that weekend. Let's take a group to Potch and to meet other shofar people from the region. Let's just enjoy the Lord that weekend. So you don't have to commit to the school of worship. Obviously, if you are musical, then it would be great. But it's open to anyone, really. Okay. So just to clarify that before we start. I want to start this evening with a little bit of psychology. You ready for that? I've been reading a little bit on this, on a psychology website and some papers that have been written, and just talking about beliefs in people's lives. See, each one of us has a core belief. As you're sitting there right now, you have a belief about yourself. You've got a belief about other people. You've got a belief about the world. You've got a belief about God. You've got core beliefs. As you're sitting here, these beliefs in your mind and in your heart are shaped by circumstances. They're shaped by thoughts, imaginations, emotions. They're shaped by stuff that has happened to you throughout your life, forms your belief system. That's what the psychologists say. They also say that beliefs influence your actions, your behavior, and even your potential. Beliefs even influence other people's behavior, and they even can impact your health. So I think belief is quite a serious thing in our lives, because they influence our whole life. What we believe determines the focus of our lives. In fact, there's a quote here that says, with a positive and powerful belief system, there is no limit to what you can achieve in this world. That's what the psychologists say. So God is, we're taking God a little bit out the picture now. Not that you can, because God created this, but I'm just saying this is nothing from the Bible, no scripture here yet. This is just what the psychologists say about us as people, our belief system. And I saw this afternoon, I was watching, I don't know if you guys watched the Australian Open final. I mean, I saw belief in action, because the fact that Roger Federer could beat Nadal in the final when he was 3-2 down and the pressure was on him, and you know at any moment someone is going to crack. It's up to what you believe is possible. And the shots that he managed to hit to just win certain points and break a serve, and then he just won 4 games in a row and won the match in 5 sets. I mean, it's incredible what these guys, the power of their minds and how they can just believe that they can do it. Both of them, I guess, believe. It's just who believes more. Because, I mean, it's just the best of the best tennis. It's just incredible. But you can see there the power of a mind, the power of what you believe. And I wrote down 4 things here when it comes to belief. It says beliefs shape your life. So number one, beliefs, first of all, can limit potential. Limiting beliefs affect your behavior by preventing people from taking certain actions that they would have otherwise taken if the belief was not there. For an example, if an intelligent child believes, now children are generally, all of us have a measure of intelligence, okay? But if a child is average, or they might be above average, if they believe that they're not clever enough, if they believe that they're not intelligent, then they'll never study, for example, and so they'll fail the exams. And what happens? It reinforces the belief again that they're not intelligent. And so a belief or a wrong belief can limit the potential of any person. Secondly, psychology also says that people don't collect information from the outside world to form new beliefs, okay? They rather gather information from the outside which already or reinforces an already existing belief. For example, if you believe someone is arrogant, or whatever you can put in, however you believe someone is, if you believe that person's arrogant, then you're going to look at that person always through arrogance, and you're always going to see their negative stuff instead of believing even that there are some positive points about that person. And so it's going to change your behavior towards that person when you only focus on their mistakes. Because while we are always biased towards what we believe, and that's why it's so difficult to change someone's belief system. Number 3, beliefs shape your reality. For example, if a guy thinks that he will never find a wife, I don't know if there are any guys like that, yeah, okay. It's a belief system. Maybe he just believes he's never going to find a wife. He so wants to, but he believes that then he's not going to become motivated to prepare himself to meet the right girl. And if he does, and if there's a date, then there could be a few 6s or 4s getting handed out because girls do bat quite well. Okay, they play good cricket at times, especially if it's the wrong guy. Then it's good to get your bats out, girls. Okay, I got a few bats from girls. It's not a shame, okay? You try and then it's the wrong girl. You know, thank you, Lord, for saving me, giving me the right wife. But if you believe that you're not going to find a wife, then you might get battered, and then you're going to keep thinking, well, I guess it's right, it's true. I'm never going to find a wife. Because it's difficult to change that behavior. Why? Because it's difficult to change your belief system. Same with finding a job. If you think you're never going to find a job, if you think you're not good enough, then you're never going to be ready and confident, and you probably will fail the interview, and you'll just reinforce that belief that I guess you're never going to find a job. And then number 4, self-confidence is no more than a set of beliefs that you have about yourself. So I'm getting you thinking here this evening. I'm getting you thinking about a belief system that all of us have. Each one of us, as we're sitting here, are shaped by beliefs, especially, and most importantly, what happens in our past, what happened in our life up to now, enforces and reinforces a belief system. So why do I start with this? I'm starting with this because I believe this year, and I've been preaching in the last 3 weeks. If you haven't got the sermons, download them if you weren't yet. But I've been talking about positioning ourselves in the harvest. Last week I talked about inviting, you know, that you're invited and that everyone's invited. Jesus is inviting people into his kingdom. So I trust that we're going to invite people this year to follow Christ with us as we follow him. But if we do this and we don't really believe in what we're doing, it's not going to work. People are going to see, I'm not going to follow this person who's not really believing in the power of what he's doing. So if we're going to invite people this year, if we're going to trust God for great things, we have to believe for it. Amen. We've got to have faith for it. Can anyone agree with me? Otherwise, we're just saying nice things and we're psyching each other up. But if we don't really believe in certain things, and we're going to look at that tonight, then it's not going to work because we're going to go into the same old belief systems. So what do you believe tonight? The question is, what do you believe? In fact, let's take a little bit further. What do you believe is possible? See, we all believe in something, even if it's simply in reality, we're all going to believe in something. We're all going to believe because of past experiences, we're going to believe in something. Or maybe just stuff is going to happen the same old, again and again and again. It's just going to happen. Just like that. We're just so used to it. But I want to say tonight, either we believe primarily in the realm of what we see, or else we choose to believe in a higher reality, the realm of truth. And sometimes it's what we don't see. The truth and the fact coincide sometimes, but sometimes there's a reality where the fact says you're going to die young, or you're going to always live with fear. The truth says, I've called you to overcome. My perfect love overcomes all fear, for an example. And then you've got to choose, are you going to live in that fear all your life? Are you going to live in that doubt? Are you going to live with intimidation and with a lack of confidence in who you are and who Christ has created you to be? Or are you going to live in the realm where Christ has called you to be an overcomer? Christ has called you to do great things. So either we're going to live in the realm of what we see, or we're going to choose to live in a higher reality. And Jesus says here in Matthew 17, and the disciples have just come back and said, this boy come to us and we can't cast this demon out and everything. And he says, why? Well, they ask him, why, Jesus, why can't we? And he says, because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Turn to someone next to you, say, nothing will be impossible. Then he says, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So there's a place where we cannot just believe. We've got to push through. We've got to fast. We've got to pray, because some stuff has been there for years and it's tough. But it doesn't help praying and fasting without belief. And that's why when we pray every Thursday from 5 to 6 at House of Bread, when we fast and pray on the 13th or 15th, then let's not just do it and doubt again. Let's do it and keep believing. Amen. So how big is a mountain? Now, I shouldn't be asking the Free Staters that, because Free Staters don't know how big mountains are, okay? But how big is a mountain? A mountain is big, okay? Go to the Drakensberg and see some awesome mountains. Go to the Himalayas. There's some awesome mountains in this world. Go and have a look at some pictures. Mountains are huge. And when you're standing in front of a mountain, you see it looks intimidating. How small is a mustard seed? It's quite small. Smallest of seeds. Jesus here is comparing a mountain to a mustard seed. Isn't that amazing? He says, there's this mountain in front of you, and then you just need a mustard seed of faith. You don't need great faith. You just need faith like a mustard seed. It's not a lot. But you see, most of the time, the mountain is inside of us. You know, when I was reading the scripture, I just realized God does not want us to move mountains. We cannot move mountains. Amen. We cannot get people healed. We cannot get people saved. But you know what he says? He says, if you have faith and you do not doubt, that's our job. In fact, he says the third thing. He says, you've got to speak. He says, you must have faith. You must believe. You must not doubt. And he says, say to this mountain. And I believe the mountain is inside of our head. I believe we have to move the mountain and ask God to move the mountain in our head before the outside mountain will move. In fact, we don't even have to move the external mountain. He's going to move it. But the mountain is here. The mountain is in our minds. Because it's a condition that we've been grown up with. No, we're not going to believe. We're not going to believe for healing. We're not going to believe for people's lives to be changed. We're not going to believe for the impossible, because I can't work it out. I'm still praying for my father to get saved. He's such an amazing guy. He's like this godly man, but he struggles to believe because he wants to see what he believes. And you know, faith says that believing is seeing. The natural says that I first want to see in order to believe. But faith says that I believe and then I will see. Amen. And that's the mountain moving faith that God wants us to walk in. He wants us to walk in this ability to believe and not to doubt. So Jesus answered in Matthew 21. He said the same thing again. Assuredly, I say to you. Tell someone next to you, assuredly. When Jesus says assuredly, do you believe that it's possible? Can anyone believe? Yeah. If Jesus says assuredly to his disciples, surely he's saying to us, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree. What was done to the fig tree? What did Jesus do to the fig tree if you read Matthew 21? He told it to die. He said, you know what, you're not going to bear fruit anymore. I expected you to bear fruit, but you're not, so sorry. And then I came back and like, whoa, Jesus, the fig tree's dead. Look, I've got power in my words. He says, if you believe, if you have faith and do not doubt, you're going to do what was done to this fig tree. You're going to say to stuff. You're going to say to this mountain, not only just move from here to there. The previous scripture is like move from here to there. Now the mountain is moved from here to the sea. So it's quite far. Right? It's 1,000 km from here. Depending where you live. Maybe you live right next to the sea. It's easy to move Table Mountain. You just nudge it and it's in the sea. Eh? But the Free Staters need more faith. Amen. We're far from any sea. Okay. But it's not about the external mountain. God will do the moving. And he can move a mountain because he created a mountain. Can God? Is it difficult for God to move a mountain? No. See, faith is not passive, guys. Amen. Faith is not being quiet. Faith has got a sound. And that's why tell your tongue and your voice to be consecrated this year. Okay? Speak to your touch your tongue now and say, tongue, speak life. Okay? Come, tell your mouth to speak life this year. To speak life this year. To speak life this year. Amen. Because we've got power in our voices. We've got power in our tongues. But what do we do many times? We speak negativity. We speak death. We say, oh, South Africa's never going to be changed. Bloemfontein's, people aren't going to get saved. This is such a tough place. This campus, it's just going to be worse than last year. There's going to be more stuff. We're going to not have class. We speak death. We speak unbelief. Look at the president. Oh, yes. Look, Trump. Oh, no, you know, America's going down, you know. He's appointed by God. God is in control and we can speak life. We don't have to worry about what happens up at the top. We can control what we can speak. Amen. Faith has a sound and faith can move mountains. I heard a story once of a guy called Smith Wigglesworth, one of the greatest faith preachers, and they called him the apostle of faith at a time. And he was doing a healing service once and he called this, he said to the people in the crowd, he said, right, he wants the sickest person to come forward, like the worst, the most sick person to come forward on the stage. And so like there was this old lady that was really sick. She couldn't even walk. And so two people carried her onto the stage. And so Smith said to them, let her go. So they let her go. Boom, she falls to the floor in like a heap like that. And everyone's a bit shaken. So he says, pick her up. And so they pick her up again and Smith says to them again, drop her. Boom. Falls to the ground. By now the crowd is getting a bit upset and tells them, pick her up again. And so they pick her up and then this guy in the crowd shouts out and he says, what are you doing, you terrible man? How can you just let this woman fall? And they're shouting all sorts of things. And he just says to them, you just mind your business because I know my business. And so he says to them again, he says, let her go. So the third time, after she fell, picked up, they let her go. She stood and she was completely healed. Because Smith Wigglesworth knew what God wanted to do. Smith Wigglesworth believed that if he speaks and he does not doubt and he has faith, mountains can move. Sick people can be healed. Lives can be changed. So I believe Jesus wants us to have an active faith. He wants us to have an anointed faith. He wants us to have a courageous mountain-moving faith. Can I have an amen? Someone is going to get excited here tonight. I'm going to share two stories with you from the Word of God that hopefully will inspire you because it's possible. If guys in the Bible can do it and walk by faith and see God doing great things, why can't we? One story from the New Testament, one story from the Old Testament. The first is a story that we know quite well. It's about this little shepherd boy looking after sheep and he was the youngest and came and he saw his brothers fighting in the Israelite army, and they were suddenly so scared because there was this massive guy, and so everyone was like, okay, we're going to be dead. Yeah, this guy's going to kill all of us. Who wants to fight with him? And so he says, looks like all of your hearts are failing, but let no man's heart fail. I will go and fight with the Philistine. So we know what happens. The Saul puts on his armor and he's like all uncomfortable, and everyone is saying, protect yourself, put on the armor. You know, it's good to have the armor because Goliath's got full armor on and everything. And so he puts on the armor. It doesn't work. He takes it off and says, you know what? I don't need this. I just need a sling and 5 stones. And then he starts to confess. This guy's laughing at him. Goliath says, you little, what are you doing, idiot? I mean, get a life. You don't even know how to fight. I'm an experienced soldier. So, okay, bring it on now. Let's. So they start with their words and start fighting with each other by their words. And eventually the little guy picks up 1 stone, puts it in his sling. And what are the chances? What are the chances that this little stone hits this giant that he falls knocked out? What are the chances of that? Just think about it. See, God did the miracle, but he used David. He used the guy that confessed, I come here in the name of the living God. The battle is not mine, the battle is the Lord's. Because he believed. So just a couple of things that we can learn from David. David's heart did not fail him. In verse 32, he says, let no man's heart fail him. And I believe it's all about faith. Let no man's faith fail him. Do you believe that you're on the living God side? And who are you, Goliath, to defy the armies of the living God? Who are you? I think it's time for someone to stand up. I think it's time for someone to believe. And I believe God is calling some of us here tonight to start to believe again and to lead other people who are, you know, there are a lot of believers that are unbelievers, okay? There are a lot of unbelieving believers around. A lot of Christians don't believe anymore, amen? So I believe God is calling some of us, whoever wants to be like a David, where you're in the army of God's people and God's people's hearts are failing them, their faith is failing them, and he's calling us to be a leader and to say, you know what, who are you to defy the armies of the living God? Who are you, devil? Who are you? Instruments in the devil's hand. And we're not fighting against people. Remember, we're fighting against principalities and powers. But David's heart, his faith did not fail him. And that's what we can learn. And then secondly, David had a testimony of God's power. David said to the people, he said, you know what? The lion and the bear I've killed because I was looking after the sheep and I've killed the lion and the bear. And so God did that because it wasn't me. I was a little boy. How can a boy kill a lion and a bear? It's impossible. But God did it. And so he says, you know what? God's going to do this again because God is faithful. And I want to say to you guys tonight, each one of you, if you've been saved by the living God, then you have a testimony. God has done something in your life. He's taken you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is a testimony. That is enough to say to the powers of darkness, I have a testimony. There's a lion and a bear that have been killed in my life. Darkness has been done away with. Not completely, because we're still sinning and we still continue in it. But I have a testimony that God has saved my life. And I know God can use me to do great things. Amen. And some of you have had other testimonies of not only getting saved and coming into the kingdom. You've got a testimony of overcoming porn or overcoming alcohol or overcoming smoking. Whatever you've overcome, that's an incredible testimony. You've overcome fear. You've overcome doubt. And you're busy in that process. And God is saying to you, I want to use you because you have a testimony. You've got a story. That lion and that bear in your life has been killed. A testimony of God's power. And that's what he confessed. And I think we need to remember our testimonies again. We need to go back to when God used us. And when God used us to lay hands on the sick. Or to lead someone to Christ. Then remember that and celebrate it. And say, God, I want to do it again. I want to do it more. Amen. We have a testimony, and you're going to stand up, and I'm going to stand up, and we're going to say, let our hearts not fail us, let our faith not fail us, because God is faithful. But then number 3, it's important. He came in the name of the Lord, and he gave God all the glory. And so many times, God holds back on us because we are in it for ourselves, you know. And so it's going to be great when we do stuff, and I'm this cool guy, I'm this cool girl, I'm God's woman, God's man. But David came, and he says, you know what? I cannot do anything of myself. I come in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he gave him all the glory. And it says that all of Israel marveled. And in fact, even the surrounding nations were in awe of God. Using a man, a little boy, to slay a giant. It talks about the mustard seed in the mountain. The underdog. Don't you love the underdog? God is into the underdog. Amen. Some of us are feeling like underdogs here tonight. Some of us going into 2017 and there's just this mountain ahead of us. And it's like, I'm so the underdog. I'm so the little mustard seed. And there's this mountain in front of you. The Lord said, if you've got faith in me, you're not the underdog. In fact, I want to use the underdog. Amen. I don't want to use the Saul. I don't want to use the older brothers. I want to use the youngest one. I want to use the one that people think is not going to make it. I'm going to use you. And I want to say, I believe there are people here tonight. You've got to start to say, God, I don't seem to have confidence. I don't seem to believe in myself even. I don't seem to believe in you. But Lord, I want to start to believe differently again. Amen. Is anyone wanting that tonight? If you want it, you can have it. And then lastly, he confessed God's victory every time. Every confession he made was all about God and saying, not himself, he's not good enough. In fact, nothing in him, and everyone could see he wasn't good enough. And what a great place to be. What a place of humility. What a place where there's no pride. There's just a testimony of God. It's not like nothing's happened. God has done great things. But so many times we look at ourselves and say, you know, we haven't done such great things. We've sinned and we've done all this. And then it's all about us again. But when we say, you know, I'm going to get myself out of the equation. God, here I am, an instrument to be used by you. Then the second story. Two guys in prison. I want to read this to you guys. Acts chapter 16. Go with me if you've got your Bibles here. Acts chapter 16. Just shake somebody next to you and say, God is stirring in this place tonight. Something is going to shift in this place. In fact, something is going to shift in our minds tonight. Amen. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So Paul and Silas have just been whipped almost to death, I guess. They were given lots of stripes, put in jail. So they're in incredible pain, and yeah, they're in these shackles, and they can hardly move, and they're in this jail. And here they are praying and singing hymns to God. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. And then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them with some at the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. And now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Just a wonderful story of faith again, a faith in action and faith resulting in people coming to salvation. I love it. I love the fact that they didn't focus on the terrible circumstance. I love the fact that Paul and Silas focused on the greatness of God. And I think if you're in prison like that, you're obviously in pain and it's obviously not nice, but I also believe if you're singing hymns like we did tonight, you're not at the place of total depression. I believe you've come to this revelation of God is great. Amen. And sometimes we come into church here and Gerard and Benny and the other band members are here and you know, we see they're singing hymns and they're rejoicing and it looks like their lives are all sorted, but one forgets they've actually come in here also with some baggage, also with stuff, and they've just worked it through and said, you know, God, it's all about you now. It's not about me. So sometimes we need time, but I want to say, when we come to church, let's come singing hymns and rejoicing. Doesn't matter what our circumstances look like. Let us come in focus on the greatness of God. And that's a great place to be. That's a place of faith. It's a place where we can see God doing amazing things. So this is what happened. They focused on that. And suddenly, it's not like they prayed to be released. It says nothing about, you know, Lord, help us, release us. Lord, save people. They didn't even try to pray like that. They just focused on worshiping the Lord. So faith is quite simple. Faith is not doing a lot of stuff. Faith is just focusing on the greatness of God. And so what happened? God started to do miracles. Earthquakes happened and the foundation shook. Doors were opened. Every chain was loosed. Isn't that amazing? If you read that, you see it says everyone's chains were loosed. You know, when I read this, I get excited because I see the heart of God. Yeah, I see God's heart for every single person to be set free. Isn't that amazing? God's reign reigns on the righteous and the unrighteous. God's favor is for all people. Why? Because he loves all people. And so he set all the prisoners free. Didn't just kill the guy. In fact, the guy wanted to kill himself. And then suddenly the heart of God comes through in Paul. And Paul says, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't kill yourself. God's got a plan. So at this place of faith, I believe there's a compassion that is stirred in our hearts. There's a love for people. There's a belief that God loves every single person. He wants to save so many people. Amen. So the fear of God was also present. And guess what? The jailer gets saved. His whole family come to know Jesus. Faith in action resulting in a family getting saved. Faith resulting in people being set free. Faith that can do awesome stuff. So do you believe that tonight? Do you want to have faith like David? Do you want to have faith like Paul and Silas this year? Now, I believe it's possible. But I believe there is a key. And so I'm going to leave you with that tonight. There's just one key to all of this. Because, you know, we can psych ourselves up and we can sort of have faith in faith, you know, and hope and sort of stir ourselves up and psych ourselves up. And that's not what God wants to do tonight. God just wants you to do this one thing. Romans 12 verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. I can stop there. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, to change a belief system is a process. As I said at the beginning, a belief system comes a long way. And so the Lord has to work out stuff in our lives. He's got to change stuff. He's got to deliver us and set us free of mindsets and stuff. And I believe the Lord wants to just continue the process that he's already started maybe with some of you. Maybe tonight someone needs to start this process. The only way you can have faith is to start following the one who can do this for us. The one who can help us not to be conformed to this world. In fact, the one is called the author and the perfecter of our faith. He's called the author and the finisher. He starts our faith and he continues and completes our faith until he comes back again. He's the one who can reconcile us to the Father. He's the one that helps us to know and to really believe and prove what is the will of the Father. His name is Jesus Christ. He died for us on the cross. He believed for us. Isn't that good news tonight? He did not conform himself to the things of this world. He lived a separated and a consecrated life. And he loves each one of us in this room tonight. He loves the whole world. But tonight, I want you to know that he loves you. And I want you to know that he wants you to have faith. Unfortunately, the world out there doesn't really know that Christ loves them. They think that he's going to condemn them and he's got all sorts of other stuff for them. Because the church many times portrays the wrong image of God. And it's sad because many times people don't want to follow Jesus because Jesus is so divided. His church is all over and there's this thing and that thing and there's so much confusion and there's snakes and there's poison being poured on people in the name of healing and there's weird stuff. Why? Because there's a conformance to this world. But Jesus Christ died that we can each have a life, that we can separate ourselves from this world, not love this world so much. In fact, in Revelation it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and did not love their lives unto death. How much do we love this world? How much are we conformed to this world? And so we want to have faith, and we want to have faith, and we want to believe for great things, but we're not prepared to pay the price. And you know, the price is easy. We don't have to die on a cross. We don't have to, and sometimes you will suffer, but you don't have to slit your wrists and suffer for the gospel. You just got to follow Jesus. It's quite easy. Amen. And sometimes it will mean persecution happens. Some people do die for their faith. It's not great. But what a joy to follow Jesus. What a joy to lay down your life for Jesus. What a joy to know what His perfect will is. But you see, it requires us to know Him through His Word, His Spirit, and His people. It's the only way we're going to know God. Through His Word, through His Spirit, and through His people. There's no other way. You can read a lot of books, but I guess that's also the Word, and that's other people. Every way we can know God is either through His Word, and that's the primary reason. You know, we get so super spiritual, sometimes we forget the Word of God. The Word of God is the foundation. And then His Spirit helps us. It unpacks the Word to us. It reveals the Word to us. And then, you know what helps us even more is when we're accountable to other people. We can only be conformed to Christ's image when we're really accountable as well. And that's why church is the answer. Amen. Isn't that exciting to be part of church? There's so many people running out on their own now. You know, I know Jesus, but you know, I don't want anything to do with His body because His body is weird and it's not, you know. How can you have a relationship with the head and not the body? When you're married to someone, you love the whole being. So Christ and His church is one. Can't separate the two. So guess what? Church is blessed. But you know what? Church is challenging. But I grew the most when there was a guy in my life and I really didn't like him because he was so straight and he said, this is wrong in your life, that sorted out. I'm like, what? You just offended me. So I have a choice. Either walk away or I'm going to just realize that he's also imperfect. He's not perfect. He doesn't have full revelation, but he's trying to knock on my door. You know, God's trying to say, just sort a few things out in your life. You've got a few blind spots, so just make a peace with it. So God wants us to be a body. God wants us to be in fellowship. And that's why our groups are so important. Our connect groups or small groups, whatever you want to call them. We call them connect groups because change is good, you know. What is a small group anyway? How big is small? You know, 2, 3, 5 people. But let's call them connect groups. Let's just connect. Let's have fellowship. Let's challenge each other to be conformed to Christ and not to be conformed to this world. And let's read His Word together. And let's have His Spirit encourage us and edify us. But do we know Christ? Do we know the Father's heart? And as we get to know Him better, our faith grows and our desire to conform to this world just decreases and decreases and decreases. For whatever is born of God, 1 John 5 verse 4, my last scripture this evening, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. I want you to think right now about what are you trusting God for? What do you believe God for this year? And maybe the first question is, what do you believe? Let's not even start about what are we believing for. What do you believe? So let's just look at a few things. I just wrote down a few things here, which is not on the screen, but just listen. Do you really believe that the gospel is powerful enough to change any life? Do you really believe that? Tonight. Because if you don't believe it, then ask the Lord to show you the gospel according to the Word of God. And Paul says he's not ashamed because it's the power of God to change both Jew and Greek. So we can pray for Israel. We can pray for Jews to get saved. We had one in our church last year. He's now in Joburg. David Almeida got married. Jews can get saved. Amen. If David can get saved, other Jews can get saved. His family was at his wedding and the gospel was preached and I trust God that seeds were sown. But Jews and Gentiles can get saved. It's the power of God. Do you really believe that? I want to ask you that this evening. This week I had an opportunity to just share with someone, you know, my own testimony. I was running with the person and just sharing where I was, you know, I knew about God. Because I asked him, I said, you know, how do you experience God in your life? And it's like, you know, you get the same answer. And then I just shared my own story. I said, you know, I used to know about God, and I went to church, did all the right things, and then I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I just told him the passion that the Lord created in my life. So it was amazing. He just said, yes, well, I guess I am where you were. You know, I was like, thank you, Lord. He heard the story. He heard a testimony. But I believe the gospel is powerful enough to change any life as long as we are just willing to share it, as long as we're just willing to testify. And then, do you really believe that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life? Because guess what? There's a lot of other doctrines going out there. You know, there's every way to God. And is it really so intense? You know, is Jesus the only one? There's lots of ways to God. And so doubt can creep in and we can wonder, is Jesus now the only way? Because sure, it seems like the world is moving the other way. And so we doubt the full truth that Jesus is the only truth. Do you really believe that Jesus forgives all sin and therefore you can also forgive other people of their sins? Do you really believe he's forgiven you of everything, that even the worst that you have done, he's forgiven you, but then he's saying to you, forgive whatever is bad done to you. Even the worst of the worst done to you, you can forgive. In fact, it's a command. Don't hope to forgive or wish to forgive. Forgive because I have forgiven. The Bible is clear. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that Jesus still heals today? Do you really believe? The last while I've been trusting God for healing and I've been seeing it little, but it's like this trickle is flowing, but I want the river to flow, the river of healing. In our church services last year it started, there was almost every second service that people are getting healed. People are being set free even last week. Do we really believe that Jesus heals? And, you know, we're trusting for God to heal in church, but you know what? I'm trusting for God to heal in hospitals. I'm like, Lord, why can't you heal where there's really healing needed? Where someone doesn't even believe and we can see the power of God working and someone's life changed forever, glorifying God. Do we really believe that Jesus can still do miracles today? Do we really believe that what happened if Peter could walk on water, if the Red Sea could be parted, if people could be raised from the dead? Do we believe in miracles? Do we believe it? Or are we just happy with, I don't know, it's for the Old Testament. It's for those guys. It's for Smith Wigglesworth and, you know, those guys. They were normal people. Just decided to start believing. And many times they were confronted with challenging situations and it forced them to trust God for the impossible. And sometimes we're so comfortable. Sometimes our lives are so comfortable that we don't really believe. And you know what? We don't need to believe. That's the sad thing because our lives are awesome. You know, we've got enough money. We've got comfortable life and we can study and we can get any job. And so do we really need to believe? But Jesus said, I want you to believe for other people. Do we really believe that Father God is a good Father, wants to bless us, wants to bless you, doesn't want to have you suffer and have a life that isn't a testimony? He wants to give you a testimony. And yes, suffering is part of it. And it's not to say we're just into prosperity the whole time, but God wants to bless us, guys. Amen. Some of us are living in this poverty mentality like, I'll just be the least and the doormat and everyone walk over me. No, God wants to bless you. Financially wants to bless you, relationally wants to bless you, wants to bless you with peace that you can be a living testimony. Even amidst the storms, he wants to bless you with peace. He's a good Father. Do you believe that? Or are your circumstances and your parents and everyone that said stuff against you, do you see that? Do you see God in that light? And do you really believe that Father God turns all things for the good to those who love him and who are called according to his purpose? Do you believe that tough times can be turned for God's good? I'm just so thankful to the Lord for this last while when we've been in and out of hospital and our kids have been injured and broken leg and everything. It's like weird. It's just such a weird holiday. But you know what I'm saying to the Lord? Lord, thank you. Just thank you for doing it because you did something in my heart. You did something in my life. And you turned all of this and you did it in my life and you're doing it in people around me and you're changing lives through whatever you choose to do. Because you're a good Father and you're a faithful Father and you're a loving Father and you want to use our lives as living sacrifices. You want us to be a witness. So now, I'm going to ask you, who are you trusting for this year to come to know Jesus? Who are you trusting to see a miracle happen, to see a healing happen? What are you trusting for? What are you believing for? I want to challenge us. Let's not believe for ourselves. Because yes, we can believe for a success and a aggregate and a cum laude and a whatever and a first team captain and sports this and that. And we can believe for that and God wants to bless us with that. But are we going to believe for the kingdom to come? Are we going to believe the mountains in our own mind shift, that we can start to believe for others, that we can start to pray for others, we can start to intercede for others? Because I believe prayer is going to be so powerful when we really believe. We don't just pray nice prayers. Amen. Don't just tick off the box and say, I'm just praying and now it's cool. I've done my prayer thing. Now I'll carry on and walk the natural life. So as the band comes forward this evening, I want you to consider that. I want you to write it down now or this week. Discuss it in your fellowship groups or your accountability groups. Ask the Lord, what do you want me to believe for this year, Lord? Because anything is possible. You can do great things, Lord. But I want to say to you this evening, God wants to use you and you and you. Wants to use each one of you. Jacques, Marika, Wesley, Yaku, Shaul, Tabitha, David, Francois Alzani, Tanya, Carl. Wants to use each of you. Why can't you be the David? Why can't you be the Paul? Why can't you be the Esther? Why can't you be the Ruth? Well, just believe in the goodness of God. Amen. Because there's a life depending. Someone believed for you. Someone had faith for you. You did not get saved by your own strength or by your own good works. You got saved because someone prayed for you. And maybe you've been saved since you were small because your parents believed for you. You know, I've got lots of faith for my kids. That's, you know, my love for them compels me to want them to get to Christ. That's all. I don't want them to have nice cars and nice houses and be seen by the world. I just want them to know Christ. So I believe for them. So I can see they're believing because I believe. Matthew prayed. We were in the hospital the other day. And so said to him, come, let's pray for this little boy across the road from Nathan, across the bed, across the... So we prayed for this boy. And I just know my kids believe that Jesus heals because that's what they pray. They pray, thank you, Jesus, that you save us and you heal us. That's what they're praying. That's all they need to know. Jesus is the Savior, the healer, and he can deliver demons, and that's what he did on earth. But he loved people. He had compassion. He had faith in the Father's heart. He knew the Father's heart. I don't want to settle for second best. I don't know about you yeah, this year, but 2017 is going to be a year where God is going to do mighty things. Amen. Not because we're so great, but because he wants to show his glory. And some of us are going to be in awe this year and say, sure, God, that was really you. Because last year, I just realized I walked by, sure, okay, it's me. It was me again. No, I did wrong or I did right. And so this year, it's going to be God. That was you. I can already see this holiday. It's just the peace we're walking in as a family. Just the joy. Just God has done stuff in our lives. And we just, God, that's you. Because in the natural, we are actually freaking out. It's like crazy. But God, you're doing something. The greatest miracle is when a life changes. The greatest miracle isn't the physical healing because our bodies are anyway going to die. The greatest miracle is in a life reaches out in faith and says, God, you're the King of Kings and you're the Lord of Lords. Just like we sang tonight, holy, holy, holy. That's you, God. And I think when people are doing that, we can say, sure, it's you, God. It's not us. It's not Benny or Gerard or great music. It's the Spirit of God is saying, come, worship me. Let's close our eyes in this place this evening. Father, I just want to thank you that your Spirit is stirring each one of us, God. Your Spirit is stirring us this year, Lord, to trust you for great things, Lord. But Lord, your Spirit is stirring us to not be conformed, Lord, to the things and the patterns and the belief systems of this world, the belief systems that have been placed upon us, Lord, the insecurities and the pride and all of that stuff that's been forced upon us. And even though the way we look at other people or the way we see the world, the way we see you even, God, we ask you to conform us to your ways, Lord. That we may know your will, God. That we may do your will, God. Because your word says that we mustn't only know it, we must prove your will. We must demonstrate the will of God. And that's to see people come to salvation, to see the world get saved, to see the kingdom of God established, Lord. So help us tonight, Lord. We surrender to you. I want you to do a bold step this evening. I just want to ask you to stand. If you believe the Lord is calling you to have mountain-moving, overcoming, powerful faith this year, you want to trust God for great things. You don't want to live in the realm of the natural, of just reality of what you see. You want to live in the realm of truth and of the Word of God and of His Spirit. And I want you to stand this evening. If you want to trust God for great things this year, if you want to believe for the impossible this year, then I want you to stand this evening. I want you to just stand to your feet. If you don't feel that God is stirring, don't do it. But if you feel God is stirring this evening, if you want to join me, because I'm standing, I'm not sitting any longer. I'm saying, God, I'm not trusting you for just little things. God, I'm trusting you for great things. But it starts with little things. It starts with just this, and then we grow in our faith. That God wants to start something here in all our lives this evening, if you really want to. I want you to say to God, God, I'm not. This is not a good feeling now. This is your Spirit. I'm responding to you tonight, God, because I know you're calling me. But then I want to ask you this evening. Maybe you're not even standing here this evening because there's so many strongholds in your life. There's a belief system that you are not good enough, or that you cannot be used, or your parents labeled you, then I would love to pray with you. We would love to pray with you. There's going to be a couple of leaders at the front. We would love you to just do business with God this evening. If you believe there's stuff that's holding you back, you know that you want this faith, you want this overcoming faith, but you're so conformed to the patterns and the belief systems that other people have placed on you, or that circumstances have placed on you. And every time a circumstance happens, you just believe that again. Every time you fall, you believe you're not good enough. You've got this thing of you want to, but you just cannot walk out. And I had a picture of someone whose feet are burning. Your feet are really burning, and you need to walk out. God is calling you out because He wants you to go. He wants you to move with Him. And it's like you're stuck, but He's actually burning your feet. And maybe you're going to feel it now. I don't know, but I believe God is calling you to step out because He wants to do something great in your life. But if you feel like the Lord is calling you to have prayer now, He wants you to encounter Him now because you need to change a belief system, then come. Come respond to the Lord. Don't just stand up and say, I want faith. Ask the Lord to show you what is there in your life that He wants to deal with, that is preventing you from stepping out. Is there anyone like that? You feel the Lord is really challenging on certain beliefs? Then come. Bring it before the Lord this evening. So I believe there's certain people here, your parents, you need to forgive your parents. Your parents have placed limitations upon you, and you even see in their lives that you sort of don't want to be like that. You keep saying you don't want to be like that. And you need to forgive them because that is not who you are. God is calling you out. And if you need to forgive your mother or your father or both of them, or even grandfathers, I believe there's a generational thing that God wants to change in someone's life here this evening. You need to just let go and ask God to reshape that belief system that's been passed down. So if that's you, I want you to come forward this evening. If there's stuff that your family specifically, then come. We'd love to pray with you. Is there anyone like that? Don't be shy. If the Lord is speaking to you, just come. Can we have some leaders come to pray here this evening? I believe some people really got to let go of your parents. Your parents have placed stuff on you. And if you feel your feet, if you feel like you're stuck and you need you want your feet to be released, God wants to release you this evening. So I want us to pray for these people. If we can have just ladies facilitators, please pray for them. And then I want you guys that are standing there, I want you to pray for people that don't know Jesus tonight. If you've got faith for someone to be saved, pray for that person. Pray for your family. Get into groups of two or three if you have to. And let's intercede and say, Jesus, if you can save me, you can save someone else. Sure, some of us have got lists of people we're praying for. If you haven't, make a list if you have to. But ask God to pray. Or ask God to say, if you pray for someone to be saved tonight, let's put our faith out. Amen. Let's do that and respond to the Lord. Believe tonight the Lord also wants to just inspire people and encourage people to step out and to talk to people. If you here this evening, you feel a bit shy to speak to other people, to tell other people about, you know, what God is doing in your life, just to connect with people. You don't even have to tell them about Jesus, but you're so fearful of people, you're struggling to talk to people, just to connect with someone strange. And I believe God wants us to give you boldness to just connect with people. Because He wants all of us to love people. Amen. There's no other cause on this earth than to connect with people. God is in the people business. So if you need prayer in that area, I'd love you to come. Just stand here in front of the projector. Yeah, just come and I'd love for us, Yaku, if you guys, he's praying. Yanni, if you could come and pray. And Tabitha, just come and pray for people. Yeah. If you need to respond in that, if you're just feeling like afraid of people, you're fearful of man, you're afraid of connecting with people, just come. God wants to anoint you with the power of the gospel on your life. Amen. I want to release a boldness over every person. Release a boldness in Jesus' name. Over all of us to tell people the good news of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the lost, Lord. Thank you for the people that are waiting to be told the good news that Jesus reigns and He rules.
Our voice.
Father, I just release over all of us as a church, Lord, over us as your body and your vessels, your hands and your feet in Bloemfontein. God, I release a boldness to witness for you, Lord. Lord, thank you that we can believe in the message, Lord. It's not our message, God. We are just the messengers, Lord. And we have a testimony, Lord, of lions and bears being slain in our own lives, God. So we have a testimony that we come to Bloemfontein. We go out into Bloemfontein. We go out into this nation of ours, Lord. We go out with a testimony that we are representing the army of the living God. We don't come with spears and with shields and with natural weapons, but we come in the name of the Lord of hosts. And we thank you, Lord, that you give us the ability to believe. Lord, I cancel any doubt over us, Lord, any insecurity, even over us as a church, Lord, even God, just where you've seen how the devil has stolen, we've allowed the devil to come and steal, God, the confidence in you, Lord, and thank you that you restore that confidence again, that we can believe, Lord, that we can believe that anything that you say is possible, God, we believe that it's possible. So we thank you, Lord, that we are born of God, Lord, and therefore we overcome this world. Just want you to speak life over your life this year. I want you to speak life over your studies this year. I want you to speak life over your job. If your job is challenging, then speak life over the people. Speak life over your witness this year, that you're not going to back down. You're not going to... a witness that is quiet. You're going to be a witness that has faith, that believes. So just speak life over this year in Jesus' name. The band will continue to minister. You're welcome to have some coffee at the back. The ushers have prepared some awesome coffee and some fellowship. There's ice cream and cones, I think, for the first years or any visitors here. So we'd love to meet with you. Please don't leave. But if you need to spend time with the Lord, just do that. God is here to inspire us by His Spirit. So thanks for coming. See you guys again next week. And If you believe you can be a host, then please write your name up. If you can host a connect group, or if you just want to join one. And otherwise, if you want to come pray with us, see you Thursday, 5:00 at House of Bread. For those who don't like the mornings, it's in the afternoon. Praise Jesus. Amen. But have a great week. God bless you guys.